Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Gianna Rayburn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. So excited to be back. And today's guest is Becky from Buzzing About Romance. She's another podcaster who is prolific and has multiple episodes, and you can just dive into all things romances. They do contemporary romances, but they do demo a little bit in other subgenres. They have episodes about mafia. So if you like my mafia episode, check her mafia episode. They got cowboys. They got all the romance space, the trendy things that you're looking for. You're welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Lori. Laura. Sorry. See, it's in my head, you are Lori. We talked about this last time.
It is okay.
I gave you a nickname.
You gave me a nickname. It is totally fine.
Well, and I am terrible at names. Like, when we first started connecting,
yeah,
I rhymed your name to your podcast name.
Yeah.
So Lori, for What to Read Next podcast. It is okay.
You're just like unaccepted. It's not, I have multiple nicknames in Spanish. So it's kind of like similar to my Spanish nickname, which is Laurita. So it's like,
there we go. But I think you said last time I'm the only one in the world that calls you that.
No, you are. Yeah. It's okay. We have a unique, special relationship. It is okay.
We share our love of, our newfound love of Bravo.
Yes, I got her watching Vanderpump Rules, people.
You did.
She was texting me and saying, this is just what is happening. Oh, just keep going. Just keep going. So if you've never watched Vanderpump Rules, start from the beginning. It is worthwhile, the journey. It is a messy, toxic journey. Like, it's just pure reality goal from the early aughts when VH1 was doing reality TV shows that were just so messy, like a pooping and a celebration and a dating ceremony, that kind of reality show. Yeah. It is so messy. It is so toxic. Yes, there's cheating. Yes, there's drug use. Yes, there's like drama, but you just go with it. And then you understand scandal that happened a day that happened. It changed the whole Bravo sphere. So
yeah. It's so messy, but I love it. I love the messy. And then we were done with Vanderpump and we went down the Below Deck route. And first of all, don't think, I'm not a boat person. I like water. Yeah. I'm just not a boat person.
Yeah.
So will not be coming a yachty anytime soon. But I do have a mad respect for Kate, and I liked her in Traitors. And I do have some mad respect for her after watching Below Deck.
Yeah, I grew up in Puerto Rico, so obviously one of my friends growing up, childhood friends, had a sailboat, so we used to go sailing and stuff like that. It was pretty common. But ironically, my mom's husband, my stepdad, he is a boat mechanic. He's actually so well-known in Puerto Rico. Like, he actually has a wait list. He's semi-retired. And I'm like, you should charge more. He's like, no, he's like the best of the best. But one of the things I learned, because he's a boat mechanic, is like, boats are like a money waster. It's a money pit. Like, you just, it costs so much money just to have a boat. So if you're thinking of wanting to get a boat, no, find a friend who has a boat. Find a dumb friend who got the boat and has spent all the money, and then just enjoy that time. Just like I did when I was growing up, I used to go sailing. So cute. I had a friend who had a sailing boat. That's what you want to have. So he does actually house. I think he works in different marinas, but all same one marina, and he sees all the yachts, like, or like these kind of yachts are going on and stuff like that. But he works with like some more less clients. He does do the boats that take from the cruise line to move the cruise to the space. Yeah. He actually has that contract where he helps like repair or there's something happens and stuff like that. So yes, I'm well versed in the boat stuff. My brother has friends who have boats and they all talk about it. And all my stepdad's doctors have boats and actually has to get him out of the waiting list. Because they're like, we need you to be healthy so you can fix our boat.
Right? Oh my gosh. Yeah. So I did enjoy Below Deck though, but it was messy.
There we go.
Those people.
So I think next one you need to watch is Next Gen NYC. I know it's a little bit Gen Z. It's a little bit getting in style, but it's definitely delightful. Or you can go into Love Island. I am telling you, it's not the season 6, if you're going to USA. The UK versions, which is dumb people. You may not even understand what they're saying. And it is delightful.
Because I started episode 1 of Love Island this year. And what? When we were, I got done with it. And Mike's, what were you watching? And Mike's my husband. And I said, what are you watching? And I was like, I don't know what I watched. Not exactly sure what's happening, but I feel like I should take a shower.
It is definitely, like, there is not hygienic. Like, this season is horrible. They should have hired me and my friends to do background screening on these people, because the whole shoddy casting that happened here this season, like, they knew each other. They have, I'm like, no, we do not want this. But it is delightful. I would say UK is a much better season. It's a much better, easier space. US season 6 is delightful. The first week is kind of like a background screening that you don't need to watch. But once Rob gets under the pool, literally under the pool for an hour, because he didn't want to confront Leah about a fight that he had, that is when the season gets started. Because, and you're going to see Rob and traitors. Rob is actually, is going to be a traitors with its overall.
Oh, that's right. He's in this new season.
He's in the new season. So season 6 is delightful. It is actually a fun one. Just like genuine friendships. They just didn't know that it was going to be so big. And it was like such a good season for it.
Yeah.
This season felt forced. It felt like actually they want to be best. They wanted to be influencers. They want to get the space. And they didn't form real connections. And the whole point of Domina is not marriage, but they want to have connections. Like, they want to have love connections and stuff like that. So it is about dating and stuff like that. Also, we get a lot of COVID high school kids. And I have to say, they've been like stunted. Like, I'm shocked. Like, they're just watch a lot of TikTok, understand what therapy speak is. And now they're weaponizing therapy. They're like, she'd love on me. I'm like, no, he's just talking to her. Like, just to do this. I'm like, no, like, sir. Just because you went to TikTok University does not mean that you actually know what you're talking about.
Yes. But don't you? Okay. So, and again, I'm a little older. So,
yes.
But don't you feel like we kind of had that same thing happen when, like, Google and AOL were really grabbing foothold? All of a sudden, everybody knew everything and was a doctor of the world via World Wide Web.
Yes. And now we have Facebook for our boomer friends who are war analysts, who are weather people. Yeah. There are immigration lawyers. They're everywhere. Like, I understand. But it's getting to a point where I'm like, I don't want you to make a mess of yourself. Just acting like a fool. Like,
yeah.
Like, a guy was like, you should love on me. I'm like, no, he's just talking to her. It's not, that's not how it means. Yeah. But I did talk to my therapist about this, about now we ChatGPT is like actually like acting. A lot of people think ChatGPT is our therapist and not ChatGPT is our spiritual counsel. And there's levels of psychosis that are happening. So it's going to be an interesting, I don't know, 10, 20, 50 years where we're going to see this more exploding and more people thinking they're experts or something that they are not.
Yeah. It'll be a wild ride.
It will be.
It'll be wild. We'll see.
But all right. So we're going to talk about disability rep, and we're going to talk about, disability rep. We're going to talk about like different Kindle Limited books, or what are we talking about?
I just have a little bit of everything. Like, I tried. So one of the things that I've noticed is, and I think that this is a lot of just who we are as readers. So we have to remember that as society evolves, as things change, authors are obviously going to change and evolve too, right? So if you look back at books written 2016 back, there isn't tons of what you would call disability rep, right? Like, you didn't bring light to it. If you had anxiety, it wasn't talked about. Diagnosis of like depression and clinical depression and seasonal depression and social anxiety and stuff like that. I mean, really, they've been in the diagnostic forever, right? Like, they're there. And in the 90s, we saw the surge of like Prozac and Paxil and all of those to help. So you saw the medication, but I don't know that books themselves started picking up like true, like, mental health disability until after 2015.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it seemed to be like kind of, it just, we normalized it in a way that actually allow you to speak up. Like, it was pretty common that people had anxiety. It was pretty common, but it wasn't normalized. Again, TikTok University made it more open to just talk about and then talk about your therapy speak when you learn in therapy. It is a pretty common thing. I think I remember the episode Sex in the City when Carrie was told that she needed to go to a therapist. And it was like, how she was shocked. She's like, I'm not crazy. Like, I'm not crazy kind of deal. And then I guess she met the guy in the therapist's office, which I been to New York City therapist, and I never met Bon Jovi. I wish, but no, it's not normal to see other patients in the office. It's like pretty much you see, you're waiting for 5 minutes and then you're going to have your time. Like, it's not normal to see Bon Jovi, but it wasn't common to talk about that experience and stuff. It was pretty taboo. I remember the thoughts. It was pretty taboo to say I wanted to get therapy and I wanted to try different modalities and stuff. Now it's pretty common. I'm like, I've been doing this for 25 years.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And so I was trying to think of book recs, and I'm like, well, what do I got? And then a lot of books have anxiety rep in them.
Yeah.
It's becoming a little more common, a little more easier to talk about, more conversational. There's less stigma to things like anxiety. I feel like in the world of disability rep, those you can find more easily, even the neurodivergence, the Helen Hong, which one is it? The KISS quotient that came out. Everyone likes to say that was kind of the first one with the autism spectrum disorder representation. But now we see it with Penny Reed and her books. Maisie Eddings is doing it with her books. And I know there are many others that have autism.
Yeah, I think it's neurodivergence is pretty much a pretty common thing that we're seeing. I think because it's normalizing, that it is okay to talk about that you're in a spectrum. It is okay to talk about that you're having anxiety. It is okay to talk about that you have depressive modes. It may not be fully accepted, but you'll feel it's less of a stigma that you're not going to be taken to lobotomize or you're going to be taken to the asylum they used to have with hysteria.
Well, and one of the things that if you talk to authors who are writing own voice disability rep, so we had the pleasure of interviewing like Mariah Inkerman and Why Not, and they both write different parts of mental health rep. Mariah has like some OCD rep, and then she does have some chronic illness that I'll recommend here in a minute. And then Anne does just bipolar disorder, the different types, and then also anxiety and mobility device uses. And when you talk to them, one of the main things that comes out is, and I never thought about this, but just being in love is not meant to heal or fix you.
Yes.
It's about love and acceptance. And so for really good disability rep, it needs to be authentic.
Yeah.
It's about acceptance, loving you where you're at, who you are, being a helper, but not trying to fix someone.
Yeah.
Because nothing's broken.
Well, and there's nothing to fix. Like, it's acceptance. It's a radical acceptance that this is where you are. This is where you're doing. And it's just a lie just to be.
Right. So that's one thing. Mariah Inkerman, she shares it on her TikTok. And you guys should go find her TikTok and follow her because she's a delight. But she often will talk about how she'll enter different writing competitions and stuff. And feedback will come back. Well, I don't understand why they were still having OCD problems and intrusive thoughts when they fell in love. And it's,
I did not realize that's the magical solution. Oh, maybe I should fall in love so I can have my anxiety.
Right?
I don't have trauma, PTSD. I don't have it because I fell in love. I'm sorry, but that sounds like, this is like some bullshit.
Right? But also, doesn't it sound so typical though, too?
It sounds like judgmental, who think that like the Bible's going to fix you. Like God's going to fix you. Like
you can just pray it away.
You're going to pray away. You do not need medication. Or it sounds like the Maha girlies who are like, just throw up. Just put some coffee enemas. You should be fine with that. Big Pharma is better. It's good to charge. I'm like, sorry, but Big Pharma has pulled me very much.
So true. Oh, very true. So when you go looking for disability rep, first, look for own voices. That's my suggestion. There are plenty of own voices. I think If you had asked me this question 5 years ago, I would have told you a different answer. But I think right now, authors like Moriah Ankeman, in her silent, fun, kitschy way that she's getting her own voice out there. Like, she has a book coming out the end of July 2025 that is celiac disease representation. Mm-hmm. And also D&D neurospicy kind of vibes to it. Also, they fall in love. And she has some OCD rep in some of her indie stuff. The author I think that's leading the charge a little bit in the disability voice would be Hannah Bonham Young.
Yeah.
She has said, I'm messy.
Yeah.
You're right. And I love that. I've had the privilege of interviewing her, and she has such a sweet, gentle way about her.
Yeah.
And nothing limits her. She has been very honest. She has, I think she calls it her little hand.
Yeah.
She has a limb disfigurement. And she kind of came out onto the world, I think it was 2022, with her Out on a Limb. Did you read Out on a Limb?
Yeah, it was Next of Kin, and then Out on a Limb was the one that the third book that she came out.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, by the way, I do have own voices here, and here's where I actually can give you an insight that you may not even know it existed.
Right. Like, Out on a Limb, that book was really, and I think in the terms of own voice and disability rep, I think it was a little transcending for that that space, that voice.
Yeah.
And then, because then we start to see Melissa Whitney is an author that is sight impaired. And so her heroines are struggling, or her heroes are struggling with blindness, near short-sightedness, and vision impairment. And that is, I think that's amazing. Like, good for you showing how you navigate the world and find loves while also, but that's different than the voices we were seeing with disability rep that we're writing in 2020, I think. 2020, it felt like we would get a disability rep book, and all of a sudden the author writing it was like, oh, I have that.
Yeah.
And they had 17 different things. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
It didn't feel the same. Those voices. So I would say Melissa Whitney, Moriah Ankeman, Hannah Bonham Young, even Maisie Eddings. I think those voices feel very authentic.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like I'm just doing it for a getcha.
Yeah. I know Maisie actually, and I think I shared this. I know Maisie before she was an author. Like, we were in a group chat in 2020 before. And it's like, it, she shows her authentic self and her stories, but it's, you know, with care and like a sense of this people deserve success, and at the same time deserve love, deserve all the different goodness, but not because they have the disability. It's just part of their unique strength that they have.
Yeah. Have you read Peyton Corinne yet?
I started a lot of books, so don't take it as someone who doesn't finish. I just start a lot of books. I start on Steady on audio, and then I think I stop, but I've heard her books are great.
I haven't read her yet, but one of our Buzzing About Romance community members struggles with dyslexia.
Yeah.
And in the second book, Unloved.
Yeah.
The heroine has the same kind of dyslexia that our community member has. And she said that it was just so well done. And she felt so seen, because there's a lot of stigma that comes with dyslexia. And it's not always just backwards letters.
Yeah.
So I haven't read it yet. It's on my TBR. I just haven't read it yet. But in her book Unsteady, she has vertigo, Meniere's disease, and chronic inner ear disorder and hearing loss, which is interesting. Because again, not something, lots of people suffer with it.
Yeah.
But not something that we see all the time.
Yeah.
Let's see, who else? I have some lesser known authors that have written some stuff. Lindo Forbes, she has just 3 books out. The Inscrutable Mr. Yang, it deals with social phobia and anxiety. And when I read that, it was, I've lived that. I've been the person that has had to help people overcome those incredibly, like, paralyzing anxiety moments in the social setting. That book was really well done. And she's a Afro-Latine author herself, lives in Canada. So her books, she lives in Toronto, and her books are a love letter to Toronto. So if you feel like Canada, go for it.
Yes, I love a love letter to Toronto. Give me multiple. That's like my favorite city that I've never visited. And I'm like, maybe I should take like a solo trip there.
Maybe. That's it's a fun city. I didn't realize like how much of a like cultural center. Yeah. For, like so many different cultures.
Yeah.
I would say even more cultures than what you see in New York. Like it's cultural center and the food scene. Like I love Jackie Lau.
Jackie Lau, Uzma Jalaluddin has a great Muslim representation. She writes like she has written some romance, but her mystery series is so good. I'm like, I love it. So, and that one deals with grief and all the different things, but there's so many books out there from that Toronto space.
Yeah, I read that and I'm hungry. I'm like, what are you people doing to me?
Yeah.
Have you read Alexandria House?
I have. Yes, I have. I think I listened to a couple books from her.
I like her.
Their audiobooks are great. Yeah, they're hoopla. They're great. They're like sometimes they're short. They're not like long. Not a lot of meat, which sometimes you just need that. You don't need the extra fluff.
She writes like a category author.
Yes.
So it's like that short, tight story. You aren't sitting there going, oh, give me more. She gives you everything you need in the story in that moment. Her book, Holding, which I think is either book one or book two, I think it's book two, in her St. Louis hockey series. And that book has bipolar disorder. And it's a second chance romance, brother's best friend. And that audiobook is like top tier. I believe it's Wesley Chabon, which she's one of my faves. Like,
yeah,
I actually use her friend Search Hoopla for books because
yes.
I love her narration. It's just always, it's always such top tier. Jody Slaughter, she has Bet on It.
Yeah.
And it's really great anxiety, depression, chronic depression.
Mm-hmm.
So that one is one that I also really, I don't know. I have lots that I really like.
Yeah.
I just, I think there's, it's not own voice, Melissa Foster, My True Love, The Hero is an Amputee, has PTSD, war injury. She actually did have a sensitivity reader and a consultant on the book of a gentleman that was back from the Iraq war, the Afghan war, had lost his leg, but he didn't lose his leg while active duty. He lost his leg when working for one of the contractors.
Oh.
And how, like, it gets messier when you're under the contractor. But it talks about things you don't think about if dating an amputee, that, like, you're going to stay at their house because things are better set for them. Like, showers and moving through life and stuff. So that was, Melissa did a lot of work on that book. And it was just incredibly, I thought, well done. But yeah, those are some of the ones that I always recommend when people ask for Mitchell.
Yep.
I've read a few of hers. I really like hers.
Yeah, I think she has Crohn's disease. There's a toilet one. There's a couple ones. I think the other one, I don't remember the bondage one. I think she had something. I remember
reading. There's some mobility devices.
I think, yes, it was actually wheelchair user, the first book in the series. Not My Type or not something like that.
So let's see here. Not My Type is a wheelchair user. Yeah.
Left Flush is a toilet one. She made toilet paper.
Well, and doesn't she have Crohn's disease, I think, in that book?
And that's why she made the toilet paper to be specific. There was part of the storyline based on Crohn's disease, and I have experience with family members with that. And so it's definitely, when you have a flare up, it's not good. It's not fun.
Not good. But yeah, there's a lot. I mean, those are the ones that I would recommend if you're looking to fill that void.
Yeah, I found Karina Holly, The Royals Next Door, was really helpful for CPTSD, which is not is not the PTSD that you normally see from war heroes, or CPTSD was complex PTSD, which is like an ongoing trauma. You have may have a traumatic experience, and then seeing it, like how it reflects to your life. Like I have that diagnosis, and it's not simple. It's like, well, what was your trauma? And well, it's been compounded by years of trauma, and it's like the behaviors that you act out of it, how it reflects your daily life. It's not as simple as one thing.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Carrie Ann Ryan, one of her Wilder Brother books, he has a TBI. Stay Here With Me. He has a TBI and short-term memory issues, and it comes to bite him in the butt a little bit with his heroin.
Yeah. So... awesome. Well, Becky, tell us where to find you online. Where can we see the podcast? Because I know you record live on almost every week.
We have episodes out usually every Sunday, except holiday weekends. And you can find us on YouTube or in any podcast app. We have wide distribution for podcasts, even like your little known RSS feed podcast. We're there. Yeah. And then you can find us at Buzzing About Romance across all social media. So yeah, that's where we're awesome. Just everywhere. Like fungus.
Thank you, Becky, for being on the show.
Thank you, of course.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyourreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.